This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Conflict and cooperation, conflict or cooperation. Much of what passes for news or episodes in the urgent story of human conflict around the world or the hopeful story of human cooperation to solve global problems. There's a big idea for this Friday. The unresolved conflicts in the Middle East reveal an apparent inability of nations to cooperate over what to do about refugees fleeing into Europe. Just yesterday, we reported how Croatia was responding to closed borders in Hungary by welcoming a few thousand Syrian refugees. In 24 hours, though, these few thousand have become a flood of perhaps 10,000, and Croatia now has reportedly closed its borders with Serbia, creating a stateless limbo for more people displaced by war. In this century, as we've noted many times, the failure of international institutions to prevent or resolve military conflicts has produced a refugee crisis numbering more than 60 million, to which we can add the more than 1.2 million new refugees from an insurgent war in Nigeria. The UN says most of them are fleeing the terrorist group Boko Haram. Most of them are children under the age of five, and at least a half million have been displaced in just the past 5 months. Is this unprecedented shift of population beyond the capacity of international cooperation, or can nations gradually mobilize to take care of the millions now on the move? For an assessment, we turn to Ryan Crocker, former U.S. ambassador to Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, now dean and executive professor at the George Bush School of Government and Public Policy at Texas A&M University. Ambassador, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Ambassador, 20 former senior officials from the State Department, the National Security Council, the Department of Defense, among other agencies, have sent a letter to President Obama and congressional leaders, and they're asking for more money for resettling Syrian refugees in the United States and accepting up to 100,000 Syrian refugees. The current U.S. cap is at 70,000. Do you support this request?
I signed that letter and was very proud to do so. As you noted earlier, this is a global crisis. It is a crisis that very much involves the United States. It is not a European problem or an African problem or a Middle Eastern problem. It's a problem for all of us. And it is a problem that is only going to be effectively treated if the United States leads.
Drawing on your capacity as former U.S. ambassador to Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, your colleague Colin Powell once said, talking about the U.S. invasion of Iraq, if you break it, you own it. That's ancient history now. But I'm wondering if some of the thousands, perhaps tens of thousands of broken families making their way to Europe are owned in some sense by the U.S. invasion of Iraq, destabilizing the region, destabilizing Syria, leading to many of the problems that we are seeing, and that there is a moral dimension to the U.S. taking more of a role here.
I learned maybe two things in 40 years in the Foreign Service. The first is be careful what you get into. The Middle East is a complicated place if you decide you're going to play in that court. And the second thing is be just as careful what you propose to get out of. That disengagement can have consequences as great or greater than that initial engagement. And I would suggest to you that in Iraq, we were not careful going in 2003, and we were not careful coming out in 2011.
Is the president getting something wrong by being too careful in thinking about U.S. commitments on the military side and not being bold enough in thinking about U.S. responsibilities on the moral side, worried about getting involved in military conflict against ISIS in Syria without worrying about the global consequences of the refugees that we're seeing in Europe?
I again, would implore the president to realize that this is a moral imperative. It's also a national security imperative. However you define or describe it, you have to show leadership. In dealing with this refugee crisis, it does not require right now that anybody send in military divisions. It does require that we work with the Europeans and with others to see that refugees are dealt with humanely, and we need to lead by example.
There are reports now that the U.S. is ready to begin military-to-military talks with Russia about the situation in Syria. Does that amount to essentially a Russian-U.S. negotiated surrender to Bashar al-Assad, essentially allowing him to keep power, a real change in the regime change policy that the president was talking about just a few years ago?
The Russians have a policy in Syria. It's a dreadful policy from any standpoint, but it's coherent in its own terms. They're all in supporting Bashar al-Assad. We don't have a policy in Syria. So if we are going to talk to the Russians, I think we better have a policy first, so that you have a conversation that sounds something like President Obama telling President Putin that as you contemplate what you're going to do in Syria, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I'm going to impose a no-fly zone. The barrel bombs that have killed tens of thousands and have driven hundreds of thousands of others out of the country as refugees are going to stop. And by the way, I can impose that no-fly zone without using aircraft. I can do it with missiles. So think about what you're going to do. Maybe it's time for you and your thug friend Bashar to come to the table, and time for him to go, because we're coming in.
Ambassador Crocker, I heard the commander of CENTCOM on Capitol Hill talking about the possibility of safe zones for Syrians inside the areas of Iraq and Syria that are controlled by ISIS, on the border between ISIS-controlled territory and Kurdistan. And it seemed to me that both CENTCOM doesn't quite know where the administration is headed here, and that the notion of safe zones is a kind of a capitulation to ISIS, that apparently we've quietly agreed to allow ISIS to exist in that region. Do you see it that way?
I'm not quite sure what General Austin's concept of a safe zone is. To me, if a zone is to be truly safe, someone has to defend and protect it. That means boots on the ground. Is General Austin proposing that U.S. forces go in to secure a safe zone? If that's what we're talking about, that's a major shift in our policy. Syria is the problem from hell. You have ISIS and al-Qaeda on the one hand, and you have Bashar al-Assad on the other. You know, I think we have got to step up a campaign against both. But right now, we're in the worst situation that I think I can imagine us being in. But we're half in, half out. And we are showing to Syrians, to Middle Easterners, to Europe, and to the world that the U.S. simply is not leading, does not have a direction. If we don't, they won't either.
Ryan Crocker is former U.S. ambassador to Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria. He's now dean and executive professor at the George Bush School of Government and Public Service at Texas A&M University. Thanks so much, Ambassador.
Thank you.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.